Thank you so much for baptizing me with a new name. I appreciate it. I was traveling to some couple years ago to Papua New Guinea, and the captain said the plane we were coming from Singapore, and we landed in Papua New Guinea, and the captain said, Mantua, you are needed in the front. So my name is not Mantua. My name is Mutua. So I did take attention to that. The plane was, we landed, we are still in the plane. They said nobody should come out until Mantua comes out. So because I am not sure whether it's a Papua New Guinea name or it's an African name, so I did stand up. So then they started looking for somebody called Mutua, so they came to me and air hostess said, are you Mantua? I said, no, I am Mutua. He said, you are the one. So then I came out of the plane, and I saw the two policemen coming. They took my, asked me, do you have a briefcase? I thought, what have I done? Now I'm being thrown into prison in Papua New Guinea. So I said, yes, I have. So I gave them my briefcase, and they said, come. Down there was a military parade. And so I came out, and I thought, this is serious. So when I came there, the commander saluted me, and he said, now inspect the guard of honor. Nobody had told me anything about. I've never inspected any other guard of honor except preaching the crusade. So then I came, and I thought to myself, how do I see the presidents do? So I got out and started walking majestically with this commander. Now remember, I'm not even in a suit. I am in a T-shirt. And I'm walking there. So when I finished there, there was this battalion of journalists, and they came and they started popping, you know, their microphones in my mouth. So what is expectation? I mean, I was going there for crusade. So I took some boldness and courage, and I said, I'm expecting God to move in a mighty way here. Miracles are going to happen. Cripples are going to walk. Dumb are going to speak. Blind are going to see. Hey! That's what the Bible says, be ready all the time. Because you never know what's about to happen. Then they took me in the limousine, and I thought, you know, I thought the local pastors are surprising me. And they took me to this very nice hotel, and they said, in the next 6 days when you are here, the government is taking care of you. Yeah, I think sometimes God surprises us. So the crusade went on very, very well, and we praise God for that. Amen? I say amen. You know, I was told this is leaders of prayer movement, and we should not look so dull as if we are in the lecture hall. We are in the presence of the Lord. And I, being an evangelist, in the next 25 minutes, I want to get you up on your knees and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. So somebody say amen. Now, in your church, you may not say amen, but here we are in Nigeria, and it's by fire and by power. So in Nigeria, expecting fire. Outside is very hot. Now, for us from East Africa, we are not used to this. Temperatures at 3 degrees centigrade. That's too much. So if outside is hot, what about inside? There should be fire. Look at your neighbor, say fire. That's what you need to do. You know, if they tell us in Africa there are so many demons, that's why we are aggressive. So every demon that's surrounding and walking around here, I take fire. Command it out in the name of Jesus. I cleanse the atmosphere, and I declare the atmosphere is full of the anointing of the Lord. And our brother, thank you very much. That was a good presentation. Let's give him another one. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. One of these days, I will invite you to East Africa. You spoke like East African. We capture you. All right. And we thank God for you. So, in Nigeria, we are told there are so many demons and so many witches and so many sorcerers and so many wizards and so many of everything. We declare they must disappear now in the name of Jesus. If the saints of the Most High are gathered together, And when they come together, we were talking about collaboration, networking, and partnership. When we come together, think about exponential mathematics. One shall chase 1,000. Two shall chase 10,000. What about us? We'll chase trillions. So all the demons are in problems. Give a clap to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I was so blessed yesterday when Justin shared about the history of IPC, and all of us saw the vision, the mission, and the rest of it. And I was just feeling in my spirit, this is exactly what is needed at this hour. And I thought to myself, we are living in a time of the sons of Issachar, who are able to tell the times and the season. Then the spirit of discernment. And I began to discern in the spirit that what we need at the late evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, whom I worked for 25 years as the national director, used to say, prayer without evangelism is a waste of time. And evangelism without prayer is just useless. Both of them must go hand in hand. You can't be an effective evangelist or effective in ministry without prayer. Any pastor who's not prayerful should retire and become a farmer. Simple. And any intercessor who is not winning souls needs to repent. It's a serious business. It's not a matter of just clapping your hand and looking up to heaven. It's a matter of becoming serious. Winning souls on one side and praying on the other side. So all of us, I declare in the name of Jesus, you are intercessors. And all of you, in the name of Jesus, you are evangelists. So let's get out and win souls for Jesus Christ. That's all what we need to do. Now, we're talking about strategy for Africa. And I have been working in the continent of Africa for many years. In the 70s, I began to work with World Vision International in the position of also taking care of in Africa. By that time, I was not preaching at World Vision International. I was finance and administration director. Then later, I met with Evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, and I began to think strategically about the continent of Africa. Africa right now with 1.4 billion souls or billion people. And the population is growing, as we were told yesterday. And soon, probably we are going to hit, of course, not very soon, but we are going to be 2 billion. Because we are in Africa, we don't do family planning. We do family planting. There's a difference. You know, in Europe, you got now children. People are carrying dogs everywhere. Here, we carry children. We are serious business. So while they are decreasing, we are increasing. We feel the mandate in the Genesis that to go and fill the world, be fruitful, and multiply was given to Africans. So we are not playing. We have to give birth until there are no children in the womb. Amen. All the children must go to heaven. I don't see anything like a devil having more children in hell than in heaven. No, we must have more people in heaven than in hell. But nevertheless, when we started working with Reinhard Bonnke, we thought about how do we reach Africa in the shortest time possible. So we came with two arrows from Cape Town, because it's a little bit narrow, and then we go up to the north. See, Africa looks like a peace through. It has hell. It is bending on, you know, to the western side. And we said, why don't we have one arrow going west and the other arrow going to the east? And so we had two teams that were working hand in hand. The impact that we had in the continent of Africa was because of strategic planning. That's why we're here coming to plan and ask ourselves, what can we do to reach the continent of Africa? Let me put it into perspective. Reinhard Bonnke in the year 2019 died. And I want to share with that because it's very important to me. He passed on. But before he passed on, the same week on Monday, I woke up in the morning and I was going to the office, and the Lord spoke to me and he said, call Reinhard Bonnke. I had left, you know, the ministry for 5 years by that time, and he said, call Reinhard Bonnke. So I thought, why the urgency in the spirit? I arrived in the office and I couldn't sit down. He said, call Reinhard Bonnke, call Reinhard Bonnke. I know Reinhard Bonnke was sick. So I called him and I said, Reinhard, how are you? And you know, even when he was suffering from throat cancer, he would still speak. He said, "Stephen, I'm doing well." I said, "Right now, I want to come and see you on Monday in Florida." And he said, "Come. So come with your wife." I said, "Great, I'll be there on Monday." That's a week from that Monday. Okay? Then I went and bought the ticket. That Friday, I was in my study, reading and praying and waiting on God until 1:30 a.m. Then I decided, let me go and have a rest. I went to the bed, leaned on the pillow. And when I was leaning on the pillow, awake, still not asleep. All at once, I saw Ryan Bonga up to here, from here up, or going up to the heaven. He looked young, the same way I met with him in 1985. And I looked at him and I said, "Reinhard." Now remember, I'm not asleep, it's a vision, not a dream. And I see him going up. So I said, "Reinhard," I shouted loud. And then he turned and looked at me. He had a crown on his head and a wreath around his neck. And then he looked at me, and then all at once I saw he was in front of me. He took a baton, you know, that baton you pass on when you are in a relay, and he said, "Stephen, this is your baton. Preach the gospel in Africa." Then all at once, he returned to where he was, went up the clouds, not heaven, clouds opened, and then he went through and closed again. I turned to my wife. She had woken up because she had me calling, shouting out louder. And she said, "What is it?" I said to her, "Honey, I think Reinhard Bonga has passed on." She said, "How do you know?" I said, "I've just seen him go to heaven." So we wanted to call that time, but she said, "Why don't we call tomorrow morning?" Tomorrow morning we called Andrew, his PA. And I said, "Andrew," before I said Andrew, Andrew was crying. He said, "Stephen, your friend Reinhard Bonga has gone to be with the Lord." I said, "What time did he go?" And when we looked at our clocks, it was exactly the same time I saw him going to heaven. Then I knew the burden of Africa has been put on my shoulders. So today I stand here with a heavy burden for the continent of Africa. I don't call myself anymore a child of Kenya. I call myself a child of Africa. I think Africa. I dream Africa. I drink Africa. I think of it from Cape Town all the way to Tunis in the top. That's the topmost area. And I think, how can we get this continent saved in the shortest time possible? Now, in terms of strategy, the Lord gave me a strategy now. I'll bring it into perspective. We were preaching in, I was with Ivana, the God director, the director of God movement in Abuja, here in Nigeria. Nigeria, good things come from Nigeria. I love Nigeria. Austin comes from Nigeria. Many come from Nigeria. And all of you are in Nigeria now. So many good things come from Nigeria. So we're preaching in Abuja, and now we're going to Irolin. And as we were going, we passed through the church of Dr. Eneche. Dr. Eneche, I know him very well. He invited to Kenya sometimes ago. He's a good friend of mine. When we were just passing there, the Holy Spirit picked me and began to speak to me. That was last year but one, in September. He said, "Stephen, go ahead and get for me 20,000 evangelists. I thought, 20,000 evangelists? Where do you get 20,000 evangelists? I said, "I will show you. I'm not talking about the big time ones, but I'm talking about the village evangelists. I'm talking about schools evangelists. I'm talking about prison evangelists, marketplace evangelists, and all those evangelists. And then the big time ones." And then in the month of May, you are going to mobilize them, not mobilize them, but launch them to win souls for that one day. Then he said, "Get for me 20 million believers who are going to pray and witness." Not only witness, but pray and witness. And I thought, "Lord, I've never done this before. Where will we get 20 million? In Kenya alone, of course, I know we can get that, but you know, not everybody is excited about sharing the faith." So then we went to Irolin, and preached the gospel, went back home. And then the Lord unfolded to me the strategy. And he gave me every month what we are going to do. This is what he said. He said, in the month of October, November, December, let it be the months of preparation. Prepare yourself. I thank God for that, tree, a red tree. Red rose tree. It's wood? Not tree. That's not wood, that's a tree. In Africa, we call it a tree, not wood. In America, it's a wood. This is not firewood, this is a tree. All right? Okay, well, that's okay, I understand. So then he said, think about it, plan about it, pray about it as a person. But January, when it comes to January, take a whole month for recruiting. I will give you favor with the people. One of the things that we're going to do is to have favor. Somebody spoke about Mary being highly favored yesterday. And God needs to give us favor with other movements. We have to bring collaboration, networking, and we have to work together so that there's synergy. Okay? So the month of January, I was calling the different denominational leaders, feasting so many of them across the continent of Africa, and sharing with them with the vision that the Lord had given me. Then he said, February, when you have done that, now begin to train them and let them get to know what's going to happen. So thank God for Zoom. And we were on Zoom every day training. One day we were training the English-speaking people from Africa. Another day we were training the Portuguese-speaking. Another day Amharic-speaking. Another day Arab-speaking. Another day Swahili-speaking. Another day Malagasy-speaking. It was something. Because you can't train all of them, otherwise you're going to have so many interpreters. So then we were training them. Then came the month of March. It was a month of consolidation. We started consolidating and asking ourselves, where are we? And measuring whether we'll be able to make it. Then the month of April, that was last year. The month of April, the Lord said, for 30 days, it'll be a month of prayer and fasting. We spent 30 days from first day to 30th day praying and fasting. And we got people in different places. We told them, you'll fast on this day, fast on this day. But many of us went all through fasting. Whether you fast Daniel fast or dry fast or you are doing whatever kind of a fast, we were doing it all throughout the continent of Africa. Because we realized that it is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. We realize the enemy of the continent of Africa has been there for a long time. The citadels and the fortresses and the walls that the enemy has put are too deep, from our ancestors until now. And we began to deal with that. We did a spiritual mapping. We made sure that in every country we knew what was the problem and what was the influence. We dealt with the prince of the air. We dealt with the demons or ancestral demons. And we, Africans like to fight. Demons, whether they are there or they are not there, we kill them, we bury them. In Africa, we don't cast out devils. We kill them. They have troubled us for too long. So, you see, Jesus said, rebuke them. Which is okay, we rebuke them. But you rebuke them, they go to the bush, they come again. So now we have decided to kill them. I know that might not be theologically correct, but killing is better. The Bible says from the time of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. We take it by force. And when the devil resists, we kill them. We have no time to play with the demons of Africa. You see, the Lord reminds us the people dwelled in darkness. This was a dark continent. But the Isaiah comes and says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So we love to kill the demons. So in the month of April, it was very strategic. We spent so much time in prayer, day and night, fasting and seeking the face of God. Brethren, we have come here just not to pray for the sake of prayer. Many times intercessors spend time praying for the sake of prayer. Just because they're in intercession. We need to be strategic. We need to measure and come out with the measurements. How effective are we? It's not a matter of after all, what is coming out of Karabushinda? We need to measure that. It's not just a question of jumping is okay, but we go to the gym. The hour has come when we have to say, I am going to measure the outcomes. What are the deliverables? What is that you are going to pray for? And we, in Africa, we love to pray. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But we, after prayer, we leave the burden and we go away and we don't do anything about it. Now we have to measure the effectiveness of our prayers so that we know where we are at any given time. Are we together? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, measure the effectiveness of your prayers. That's when we become strategic. Prayer is not a problem in Africa. Even the witches pray. In Africa, witches pray. Even the thieves, they pray. They say, Lord, help us before we steal. But our prayer should be different from now. We should, if we spend an hour in prayer, we need to see the heart is shaking. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 4, after they prayed, the earth was shaking. So we are praying, but nothing is happening. That's waste of time, your cowardice, your time, your opportunity, and everything. We need to measure the effectiveness of prayers. And we need to make sure that our prayers are reaching heaven. Not just praying and leaving it to God, but make sure they are going to heaven. Are we together? So then we prayed, and then in the month of May, we began the work. For now, let's go back again to prayer in the month of April. In the month of prayers, we are praying every day. We are sending prayer items. How do you measure? When you go and kneel down and you don't know, you're not strategic, you don't know what you're praying for, you can pray the whole night. Okay, Africans and Kenyans and Nigerians, we love to pray overnight. In Kenya, we call it Kesha. In Nigeria, they call it Vigil, Night Vigil. You love to pray, to go there, pray from 9 to 6 a.m. And then you ask somebody, and then they go home and they sleep. So my question is, why did you spend the night praying and the day you are sleeping? When I go for overnight prayer meeting, I don't sleep the next day. Where is sacrifice? That's called the sacrifice. I finish, I go take a shower, and I go walking. We have to, okay, then you better sleep in the night and pray during the day. Why are you spending the time all the night praying and then all the day sleeping? No, there are some victims here. You are quiet. I caught you. That's what I believe in. Nevertheless, that's for another day. So you need to have items. What am I praying for? And then you have to follow through. Has the Lord done it? If he has not done it, what went wrong? So that you know that I have prayed. And when I prayed, God has answered them. He told us when we call, he will answer. So then, why has he not answered? Nigeria now is praying, and we are standing with you Nigerians as you pray for the 25th of this month. You stood with us in Kenya. Now we are standing with you. And Kenyans are praying seriously. You know, there are two countries in Africa when there is election, is battle, is life and death. Nigeria and Kenya. But ours was so peaceful because you stood with us, and now we are going to stand with you. Ah, may the right person become the president of Nigeria. I say, may the right person become the president of Nigeria. In the name of Jesus. All right, so then that is important for us to know the outcomes of the prayer. Africans, we pray, but we don't have diaries. We don't even write what we prayed for. We are very good in prayer, but we don't write what we pray for. It is time that we begin to pray and write down what we are praying for, when we prayed for it, and when it was answered, so that we can begin to thank God for it. Well, let's go, Father. In the month of May, we went out. But before I finish on that one, once again, I feel the Holy Spirit wants me to go back again. Every day there was a prayer item. We were sending prayer items every day. Every day. So all of us in the continent were praying the same prayer at the same time, whether from Cape Town all the way to Tunis. We were praying the kind of the same prayer. So if we are praying for our brothers and sisters to be born again, everybody was praying the same prayer. The power of synergy. Then came May. That one day of May, from 1st of May to that 1st of May, the whole month we began to witness. This was a challenge to me, which I challenged the people. I said, listen, brethren, I drew a circle. A circle number one was you and your family members. Joshua said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Do you want your brother, do you want your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife to be in heaven with you? Then if they are not born again, pray for them and witness them. Let them be born again. Circle number two, brothers and sisters. Circle number three, relatives who are near to you. Circle number four, colleagues and friends. Circle number five, the rest of the world. And so we were very, very strategic in whatever we are doing, having the same mind, having the same heart. Is that not what happened in the building of the Tower of Babel? The Lord came down and said, these people are of the same heart, and whatever they said to do, they will accomplish it. We need to be like that when we are praying. We talk about strategy of reaching Africa and reaching the peoples of Africa, our sons and our daughters. But we need to be very strategic about it. We need to be very strategic about the push from north to Sahara, through the Sahara and down Sahel. Ladies and gentlemen, we now need to be strategic to push forces up through the desert, down to Mediterranean Sea. And when we push them to the sea, we baptize them with the water. We need to be strategic. We are not underdogs. We are not victims. We are victors. Greater is he who is in us than the one who is in the world. Why are we acting like a chicken without a head? We must rise up like soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ and march forward victoriously. If Christ is with us, we can't lose this battle. David, the Bible says, when David had finished his work, he died. And the Bible says he served his generation. We have this generation to serve. And before I rest with my fathers, Africa must be saved. Your amen is weak. I say Africa must be saved. I say Africa shall be saved. We have to, you and I must hold our hands together, and we must push the forces of darkness out of this continent and make sure Africa belongs to Jesus by right and by design and by default. Africa belongs to Jesus. Look at your neighbor, preach to your neighbor, Africa belongs to Jesus. And you don't have to be apologetic about it, Africa belongs to Jesus. So that's what we did. And then, ladies and gentlemen, what were their outcomes? You know, we had mobilized the church leaders and denominational leaders, evangelists, and all that. Now, let me put it this way. We did not get 20,000 evangelists. We got 17,000. So, 3,000 short. However, God surprised us. He gave us, we did not get 20 million believers. We got 47 million believers in the continent. Now, Africa with 1.4 million, a billion people, 685 million are Christians, whether they are born again or not. Nearly half of them are Christians. So if half is a Christian, then of course you come down to maybe 400 million evangelicals and all that. You're still far away. That was only 10%. That was only 10%. This year, in all the conventions and, you know, meetings of God, Africa has been challenged. If we can raise 47, we have been challenged to raise 70 million this year. 70 million. The rest of the world are raising 50 million. Can we do that? Can we raise 70 million? Because it is possible. Nothing is impossible with our God. Now with you here, it's not a matter of just praying. It's a matter of praying and doing and raising up. There are so many countries represented. There are 25 countries. Just as you get out of here, you are going to begin to mobilize the believers. We are going to come together, connect together, and begin to work together. And we are going to see that happening in the name of Jesus. Let me finish with this one. I think my time is up. Now listen. When we finish all that, you need to know the outcome. That will make you happy. We, with 47 million believers, 47 million believers witnessing, we told them win a maximum of two people. Now that one day, even if you are sleeping every hour, you can't fail to witness to two people and bring them to the Lord. The outcome was we saw 62 million souls saved in 1 month. 62. Now you're saying, wow, nothing is impossible. This year, in the month of May, working together with all of us, billion souls, God movement, the IPC, and all of us together, we are going to raise 70 million. The outcome should be 100 million souls saved in Africa. Listen, we have only 10 years to win the whole continent to Jesus. 2023 to 2033. Is that doable? Can we do it? Stand on your feet and raise up your hand and say, "Oh Lord, help me to be effective to win souls for Jesus. In the name of Jesus, as I pray, as I go, as I witness, fill me with your Holy Spirit to see 150 million coming to Jesus. May the Spirit of God fall upon you like the day of Pentecost. And may the fire of God fall upon each one of us. In Jesus' name."
Hallelujah. I thought you got some fire. I'm sure you can clap better than that. Hallelujah.